Hi, welcome to another episode of We Used to Be Best Friends. I am your host, Sabrina, and on today's episode, we have another friendship breakup story submission. Now, I have to be super honest with you guys. This story submission really got me sweating and heated because I can relate to it. I experienced a lot of similarities within this story, and honestly, reading it kind of it did get me heated, but at the same time, it was kind of nice to know that somebody else experienced the same thing that I experienced and I'm not alone in the world. Because I feel like a lot of these toxic friends operate in the same way. So maybe sharing these stories is going to help all of us kind of recognize the signs and the warning signs and the manipulation tactics so that we can be safe the next time around, the next time we see another toxic friend behaving that same way. That being said, I'm going to cue the music and I will see you on the other side. Okay, before I start, I'm going to put a disclaimer that this story does mention suicide for a little bit. And if that is too triggering for you, please don't continue to listen. It doesn't go into any detail. It just mentions suicide. Okay, just to let you guys know. And also, just so you know, this is a pretty heavy story and there is some gaslighting in it. There is some manipulation in it. So please just be aware before you start listening to this. You've been warned. I went through a forever breakup with my best friend of 9 years. Let's call her A. And honestly, I'm still trying to figure out what went wrong. A few weeks before what I now call the forever breakup, my best friend ghosted me for about 3 days. No calls, no texts, no Snapchats, just radio silence. We had made plans earlier to go to a pottery event together, the same place that I got married. I texted and called her a few times, but she didn't pick up, and I figured she was asleep and needed the rest since she works night shifts. So I asked my two other friends if they wanted to go. One couldn't make it, and the other, we'll call her Jay, said yes. Problem solved. Or so I thought. When A woke up and saw that I went without her, she got upset and said, "You should have kept calling me until I woke up." I explained that I didn't want to disturb her and even offered to go again the next day if she wanted to. She never responded. Instead, she started ignoring me. Every day, I'd ask if she wanted to go, but she'd either leave me on read or dodge the question. On the last day of the event, she randomly asked if I wanted her to pick up a fountain that I'd purchased a while back. I said sure. My dad was the only one at home when she dropped it off, and my dad knew what was going on. So when she dropped off the fountain, he asked her why she had been ignoring me. Her response was, "I'm off my meds and I've been acting that way to my boyfriend too." When I got home, my dad told me, and I immediately went to her house with my dog, her dog's best friend, to try to talk things out. I calmly explained that being ignored made me feel like she hated me and didn't want to be my friend. I asked her to tell me if she needed space instead of ghosting. Her response was a blank face and zero reaction. But quickly changed the subject to accusing me of talking shit about everyone, which I assumed she meant was when I went to her venting about certain situations. I reassured her that I never badmouthed her. We ended the convo awkwardly, but I stuck around to help her with cleaning around the house and to make sure that she ate. Okay, so I'm going to pause right there because I am seeing a few red flags that I just want to address. Okay, so let's go back to the pottery event. So both you and A agreed and made plans to go to this event together. And when it was supposed to happen, you texted, you called, but you figured she was asleep. You know, she has a night shift. I understand that. And she didn't respond. So you had the tickets already instead of waiting alone in your house and not doing anything and have your entire day spoiled because somebody did not set an alarm. You decided to use the tickets and go with another friend, which you did. And then when she wakes up, she was upset. See, she has every right to be upset, but that doesn't give her the right of how she chose to treat you after that. Because if she's upset that you went with a different friend, then she should have done the things that she needed to do so that she would wake up. She should have set an alarm. She should have told you ahead of time, hey, keep calling me if I'm like not responsive because I tend to like sleep through my alarms. Like she should have warned her friend on that. She should have like asked people who she lives with to like wake her up or something, because she did initially agree to go to this pottery event with you. And then because this event is a few days long, she's like, okay, we can go the next day and then go the next day. But now this A is acting very petty and immature by giving the silent treatment, by being non-responsive, which I think is really a waste of time. And it's very passive aggressive behavior. If you're hurt, address the hurt, talk to your friend about it. Don't start retaliating against them by giving them the silent treatment. I think that that is the worst thing that you can do in this situation. Clearly, you're upset that your friend went without you and went with somebody else, but you should also take accountability and responsibility in the fact that you didn't wake up and you didn't take the measures to make sure that you would wake up, because you promised to go to this event with this person. So you need to also take accountability and responsibility in this situation. Like if you know you're a heavy sleeper, set 10,000 alarms. I don't care. Like there are apps where people can call you for a wake up call. Like there are options. You can tell your friend, hey, if I'm not answering, like keep calling me. But don't expect your friend to keep calling you and like spending their entire day to like basically annoy you on the phone because you're the one who's not waking up and you didn't take the measures to wake up. Okay, so now she's being passive aggressive. She's ignoring text messages. She's ghosting. She's doing the silent treatment, which I think all of this is not going to solve any problems. It's just going to make the relationship worse, the friendship worse. It's going to add more anxiety, more resentment. Like it's not solving anything at all. Then A tells the dad that she's struggling and she's like off her meds and she's been acting, you know, up and down. So as soon as the friend hears that, she runs to her friend's house, which I think is really nice to do, like to make sure that your friend is okay. And that's when they have the conversation about what's going on, and she expresses herself that she feels hurt with the ignoring and just asks her, like, if she needs space, just tell me so, instead of ghosting, which I think is very reasonable. Like, if you really need space, just tell your friend you need space, you need some time alone. Don't just ghost them and make them like sit there and wonder if they did something wrong or if they said something wrong, because it really spirals you. I don't think people really understand how like the avoidance and the ghosting really puts a lot of pressure and anxiety on people, because it, especially if they don't know if something happened or if something is wrong or if they're like this person's dealing with their own stuff and they're not being told something's going on. People tend to sit there and just kind of start hyperfixating on every single conversation. They start hyperanalyzing the body language to verbal cues to like words that they said. And you start to kind of like try to find clues of what happened, where it went wrong, what could have like led there. And that is just a lot of stress to put on someone. And a friendship is not supposed to be adding anxiety or adding stress. A friendship is supposed to be very like simple and easygoing. And it's supposed to be very considerate of the other people. So it's like if you're really struggling and you're that type of person who's going to isolate themselves and you need to isolate yourself to like get out of whatever is going on, tell your friend, especially if you know that your friend is very like anxiety type of person or is like wants communication, tell them, hey, I need a few days for myself. Like, just let me decompress a little bit. And then, that friend should give them that space and, because that's your boundary and they should respect that boundary. But the whole ignoring thing, and usually the ignoring thing kind of has the idea of this entitlement of like, you should just know mentality, where it's, I don't get me on started on that because I will spiral. But I don't think it is a good thing that you're walking around the world thinking that everyone should just read your mind. Like, people are dealing with their own stuff. They can't just sit there and waste their entire day trying to decipher the little cues that you have given people. I just communicate. That's all I'm trying to say. Just say how you feel so that you can like work on bettering the relationship instead of playing this passive aggressive silent game. It's just really ridiculous. So now she tells A about how she feels, and instead of acknowledging that, and instead of being like, hey, I'm sorry that I've been MIA, I'm sorry that I've been ignoring you, I'm sorry that I've been ghosting you, instead of acknowledging that and addressing your friend's hurt and her feelings, nope. You just look at her with a blank face, your reaction, don't say anything, and instead you flip it. You start to blame shift. And instead of addressing your bad behaviors and what the subject matter is at that time, nope, we're gonna flip it and be like, well, you talk shit about everybody. Well, you do this and you do that. And then suddenly the conversation is about something completely different that has nothing to do with the original conversation. And we are blame shifting and we are just moving away from anyone taking any accountability and responsibility. And bro, honestly, this is a good friend because even after you like started blame shifting and making your friend feel like she's the problem when she came up to you to be vulnerable and share her hurt, she still sticks around and helps you clean and make sure that you're eating. Like, I'm sorry, but that tells me how good of a friend this person is. Like, even after that whole conversation, they still stick around to make sure that you're okay and help you around the house and make sure that you're eating and that you're doing okay. Like, props to this girl. Okay, let's continue. Fast forward to early June, I asked A if she wanted to hang out since we usually chill on the weekends. She said no, claiming she wasn't sleeping well and wanted to grab groceries. I was like, cool, and I told her to text me about plans for our girls' trip in July. My friend Jay then asked me to go grocery shopping with her, so we ended up at the same store as A. I saw A pull up and I panicked. Ooh, I don't know, this is already telling me something. If you panic when you see your friend, that's not good. That sounds like you're already conditioned to walk on eggshells. Sorry, okay, let's continue. Jay shrugged and said, "So, you'll be fine." I mustered up the courage to go inside and I said hi to A and walked with her for a little bit. She asked me if Jay was dating the guy that she was with, and when I confirmed, she just rolled her eyes. Later, I texted A to let her know I was free the next day and that I loved her. She read the messages but didn't reply. I jokingly sent boo or rude. And still nothing. Later, I sent her another text offering to bring her dinner, which, looking back, I realized I did a lot when she ignored me, as if I needed to win her attention back. I offered to bring her dinner the next day, hoping to make amends. Yes, you're absolutely right in this moment. It's about learning how you're conditioning people. If someone is notoriously ignoring you all the time, but then you just constantly give them more and more attention, you're basically conditioning them that the more they ignore you, the more rewarded they get, the more attention they get. So they end up doing more and more and more, and it just escalates to the point where they are ghosting you for months at a time because when you just keep like trying to get their attention. You keep trying to do more. You keep trying to like escalate to get their attention. And yeah, it just teaches them that it's okay to do that to you when it's not. Later that day, I was alone in Target and I found two games that I thought were cool, and I sent a picture to her and told her that I bought them and that we should play sometime. By the time she got the second picture of the games, she turned my notifications on to do not disturb. Ooh. I was hurt at that point and I told her that I was sorry for bugging her. I felt my stomach curl and I had lost any appetite that I had. Later that night, I saw her posting on Snapchat and noticed she didn't message me back, confirming that she was indeed ignoring me. I had texted her boyfriend asking if I could grab my wedding stuff that I had stored at their place. I know now that this probably wasn't the best decision, and I accept that. But I felt like she hated me at the moment and didn't want nothing to do with me. I felt like my wedding stuff was leverage for her to continue to have my presence and make me wait for her. Her boyfriend texted me back and said that I could come grab the stuff. But the next day, I got a text from A, essentially stating very rudely that I shouldn't have texted her boyfriend at all. I responded saying that I asked one time before and I got ignored, and that I figured since she was ignoring me, she wouldn't answer me anyways. She told me that I could grab my stuff, but only when they were home, since I knew their door code. She also said that ignoring was different than wanting space. Okay. I told her that she could have just said she wanted space instead of ignoring me. Yeah, exactly. Valid. A then brought up seeing me at the grocery store and how she wasn't acting herself, and told me that I should have known and understood that she didn't want to hang out. Oh. What did I say earlier about people that think that they're entitled to people that just should know, should just magically read their minds? No. No, she shouldn't have known. If something was off, you could have told her. And she was texting you and you ignored her. You could have had any opportunity to text back and be like, hey, I'm dealing with something right now. I just need some time. Like, no. Instead, you're acting passive aggressively. Instead, you put your friend on do not disturb, which hurts her. Like, this behavior is so immature and childish. I can't. I responded back telling her that I assumed she was acting weird because I came in with Jay. She typically acts weird whenever I talk about or am out with Jay. I also reiterated that she should have simply asked for space so I don't bug her. I told her that purposefully ignoring me made me feel like she hated me, that she didn't want to be friends with me. I then apologized for overstepping with her boyfriend and left her alone for the rest of the day. So a few things that I see here. First off, the panicking because you see your friend pull up. That's just weird to me. Not like weird that you do it. It just shows to me that you've been conditioned to feel that anxiety around your friend and that you can't be seen hanging out with other people. It's like this walking on eggshells type of feeling. So to me, that's telling me that this person, and I'm going to continue reading, so I might be wrong, but this person is like very good at making you feel guilty when you hang out with other people that are not them. And then they retaliate by being passive aggressive and ignoring you and ghosting you and giving you the silent treatment to kind of punish you in a way. Now, I do think that you shouldn't have texted the boyfriend first. I think you should have texted her first, at least have it there. And then you have like proof, hey, I texted you first and you ignored me. So I think you should have done that before texting the boyfriend. But I completely get it. I feel like this is the moment where you're subconsciously trying to gain your power back. Everything is kind of like up and down and you feel like you're being ignored. You feel like you don't know what's going on. You feel like this is like completely out of your control and the other person is like making you feel very anxious and you don't know what to do. So in this moment, it's kind of like your way of being like, it's a little petty. It's a little petty, but I get it. It's that moment where you're just like, you know what? If you don't want to be with me and don't want to be friends with me, fine. I'll completely disappear out of your life. So I'm going to grab everything that I have that reminds you of me. Since you want to ignore me and you want to pretend that I don't exist, I'm going to literally make myself vanish. It's kind of that type of mentality, which is very, very normal when it comes to dealing with people that are very avoidant and very, they tend to do the silent treatment and ghost you and treat you in that way. So you tend to have that visceral reaction of, you know what, I'm going to take my power back. You want to treat me like I don't exist. I'm going to disappear out of your life type of mentality. So I completely get why you just wanted to grab all your stuff and you didn't want her to have any access to you anymore. I also think there was a lot of value points that were brought up. You kept telling her your boundary that you don't like being ignored, and that if she needs space, she needs to communicate that with you instead of ghosting. That was your boundary, and I feel like you already expressed that earlier, and this person keeps overstepping that boundary and they're not correcting themselves. Yeah, and the whole thing of, oh, you saw me at the grocery store and you saw that I was acting weird and you should have just known. No, nobody should just know. I'm sorry. Nobody's like entitled to that. That's just really messed up. If something's going on, something's wrong, something is bothering you, you need to communicate that. There is no excuse to that. I'm sorry. Because that's when misinterpretations happen and miscommunications happen, which is exactly what happened, where she th assumes that A is acting weird because she saw them hang out with Jay or saw her hang out with Jay. So she's assuming because she doesn't really particularly like Jay that she's acting a little like uncomfortable and weird because of that. But, you know, we could have totally fixed and mitigated the situation if there was a conversation, but there wasn't. So, no, you don't get to just want and assume people to read your mind if you don't communicate anything. Okay, let's continue. So the next day, I asked A if there was a good day to get my stuff out of her house. That way, I could put it in the attic since my sister moved out and to let me know when I could. She ignored me and never responded. I wanted my wedding stuff, so I ended up messaging her boyfriend a few days later, asking to get my stuff out since he was the only one to respond back to me. Now I'm totally starting to understand the walking on eggshells situation because now you feel like your wedding stuff is being held hostage. You did as she wanted, you texted her first, she didn't respond, she ignored you, so you want your stuff. Like, what are you gonna do? Go knocking on her door? Probably. Like, come on. And the boyfriend's the only one who responds, so like, I probably would have done the same thing. I would have asked the boyfriend again, even if that pissed off the girl, because she's not responding. I did what you said. You didn't want me to text a boyfriend first, so okay, I texted you. You ignored me. Okay, but I want my stuff, so don't hold it hostage. So I went to the boyfriend a few days later and was like, I want to grab my stuff. I get that. I get that. Like, I completely understand this, and I could put myself in this girl's shoes. And I get the walking on eggshells now because it's like, oh, now I had to text the boyfriend. And now she's going to be mad at me because I texted the boyfriend, even though she told me not to text the boyfriend and told me to text her. But it's like nuance because it's kind of like a trap. It really is like a trap because she's holding your stuff hostage, literally. When I picked up my wedding stuff, I grabbed everything. I knew in my gut that even if we did continue our friendship after this, I wouldn't want any of my stuff at her house ever again. The only things that I didn't grab were three tins that I used for drinks at my wedding. I couldn't find them, and nor could A's boyfriend. Those tins were what I was worried about, too. I figured she would have hid them so I couldn't get them back. She loved using them for Halloween the last year. I told A's boyfriend to let me know if he finds them because I didn't want to wake her up. Okay, so I'm guessing that he was there, but she was sleeping upstairs. Okay. Then I left. I also messaged him when I got home and told him thank you for letting me grab my stuff and told him to let me know how much their window would cost to fix since my husband accidentally broke it with his big butt moving our stuff out of the house. Weeks passed and I never heard from her. Out of pettiness, I sent a $50 Venmo request for the tints. Yes, now I know I probably shouldn't have, but I felt a little petty in the moment. She exploded through text message, accusing me of being ungrateful and talking shit. I told her I hadn't and I just wanted my stuff back. A then messaged me a very nasty message, essentially saying that she didn't think she deserved to pay for the tins because I had my wedding stuff at her house for a while, and that was the thanks that she gets. I then tell her that she gave me permission to store my wedding stuff at her house and that I never agreed that she could keep the tins as a thank you. Frustrated, I then told her if she was going to be that way, she should just keep the tins. No, don't give her the tins. The conversation spiraled. She blamed me for my cousin's laugh reaction at one of her Instagram posts, claiming disrespect. She then told me she wasn't going to put up with my attitude and that I should think about the fact that she could be going through something and that I ignored her Snapchats. I didn't respond to one Snapchat of her cat on a mat. She then told me she had plans to leave her boyfriend, had her bags packed, and everything. She accused me of only thinking about myself and brought up how I should have known she was struggling. She then proceeded to try and tell me that as a friend, I would have given her the tins for free as a thank you, which was not true. Oh my God, are we serious right now? This is all about the tins. It's because she's holding them hostage. She doesn't want to give them up and you're calling her out on it. Yeah, if you want to keep them, then pay for them. Like, I understand the Venmo thing was petty, but if you're going to hold it hostage and not give it back because you want to keep it, then you might as well pay for it. And I'm guessing these are like expensive, like sterling silver tins or something like that, because I don't think it would be a fuss if it was like anything else. But I don't know. I don't know. Also, why are we talking about things that really don't matter? Like, this is what I don't understand about this conversation. It's like, we're trying to talk about the tins and the fact that she's holding them hostage and she doesn't want to give them back and she's like treating her friend poorly and ignoring her and not doing anything. And what, you want to get a reward for that? You want to have the tins as a thank you? Thank you for what? Being a bad friend at the moment? Like, what? You want a thank you? Want a reward? Oh my God. But this goes back to my previous comment. Remember when I said that you condition someone and how they treat you? And if someone's ignoring you and you're constantly giving them attention, or as I saw in this story, it's you buy her stuff, you buy games, you like bring her food. These are all ways of like rewarding this person for treating you poorly. And even though this behavior is absolutely not okay, I kind of also understand that this person has been conditioned, even though this is not okay. And like, come on, like human decency here. But anyway, this person is used to ignoring someone and then getting a thank you out of it, getting a reward out of it. And now they think that they're entitled to getting that reward, which is these tins. And now instead of addressing that, we are going to, again, blame shift, deflect, talk about things that are irrelevant, about how somebody's cousin did a laugh emoji reaction on an Instagram story, and that's disrespectful. Like, what does that have to do with what is going on? Nothing. It doesn't. But it shifts the attention away from them taking accountability and responsibility onto the person. Oh my God, this is like ridiculous. This really is. And then, oh, I'm not going to put up with your attitude. No, she shouldn't be putting up with your attitude, honestly. And then the projection here, oh, you ignored my one Snapchat. You've been ignoring this girl for months. Like, what are you talking about? Well, like, honestly, what are you talking about? And the whole, oh, you have plans to leave the boyfriend and you packed your bags and everything. What does that have to do with anything? What does that have to do with her? Like, what does that have to do with her? That's your priority. That's your relationship. That's your situation. And that is not her responsibility or anything. Like, and she doesn't know that. And you should have communicated that, that you're having a rough time and you're struggling. Come on. She accused me of only thinking about myself and brought up how I should have known she was struggling. Then she proceeded to try and tell me that as a friend, I would have given her the tins for free as a thank you, which is not true. When she proceeded to say that she was the only person who hasn't talked shit on me, and yet she was the lowest person on the totem pole and gets the least amount of thanks. Yeah, I don't know. I don't really believe in that. I feel like if you have to state that, then you're talking shit about someone behind their back. If you have to state it, like, yeah, that's... I don't know, that's weird. She told me then that she would rather have nobody than someone who lies to her face and talks behind her back. I then told her that the most I said was how it was unfair that she ghosted me and how childish this whole thing seemed. I told her that from my point of view, it seemed like she was behaving this way because she was upset that she saw me with Jay that day at the supermarket. Since that was the point where she started giving me the silent treatment, and it did nothing but hurt me, especially after the talk we had in person and how I told her how it made me feel. I told her she should have texted me she wanted space. I then brought up how it makes me more upset that she did this stuff to me in high school too, and how it seemed to be more constant with Jay being back in town. She told me high school was different and it's because of the girls that I hung out with. She also mentioned how she loved how it was childish, in quotations, for her to want space and to not talk to someone. Oh my God. Oh my God. The gaslighting that just happened right here. Oh my God. So clearly this is a behavior pattern that has happened before where... she sees you with someone and she doesn't like it. And then she gives you the silent treatment. And she said that this high school was different because it's the girls that hung out, you hung out with. How's that different? Because now she's hanging out with another girl. Like, it seems to me that this sounds like she's trying to isolate you and make you her only friend, and you're not allowed to have any other friends. And that's probably why she retaliated. And I think you hit it right on the money when you said, like, this is when you started giving me the silent treatment, as soon as you saw me hanging out with Jay. Like, come on, she's not allowed to have any other friends and not hang out with other people. This is strange. And then the gaslighting and the flipping, using the words against people. Oh, now it's childish to want space and not to talk to someone. That is not what she said. She said the whole situation is childish because it is. It's immature. You should have just talked to your friend. If you wanted space, you should have just had a conversation. Like, I don't get it. Like, and now you're using that word and be like, oh, she said I was childish to want space. No. It was childish the way you moved about. The way you moved. Your behavior was childish. It was immature. Instead of having a adult-to-adult conversation with your friend and tell them how you feel and tell them, hey, I'm struggling or whatever's going on and I need some space. Instead of telling them that, you're blatantly ignoring them. You're making them feel horrible about themselves. You go months without answering. You put them on do not disturb. Like, come on. Like, come on. I tried to reassure her by telling her that I didn't know why my cousin Laugh reacted at her post. I told her she only Snapchatted me once about the cat, so I left it on read because I thought she wanted space and I was hurt. I told her I didn't just think about myself and that she was the highest person on the totem pole, and then I told her that she can just keep the tins. No, don't give her the tins. Don't. Oh. Okay, so you're giving her basically an olive branch right here, reassuring her, telling her, like, no, that's not what it felt like. Like, you are the highest person on totem pole. I do care about you. And you're trying to showcase that by giving her the tins, even though she does not deserve the tins. Don't give her the tins. Oh my God. She then messaged me how I didn't understand and how I would never would. She mentioned us being like sisters and how she loved me but can't keep connections anymore and that she could not risk hurting anyone in the future. I don't know, it's starting to sound very like victim blamey to me. Like, it's your friend gives you compassion and empathy and is like trying to understand you, trying to reassure you, telling you you're the highest person on their totem pole and they care about you, and they showcase that by giving you the tens, even though I don't think that they deserved getting the tens, like just the principle of it. And then here we go doing the victim game and we're painting ourselves as the martyr instead of like being just as compassionate, just as empathetic, trying to understand her side of the story and acknowledging the fault that you're in and, you know, the ignoring, the accountability that you need to take, the responsibility you need to take for basically ghosting someone and making them feel bad and feel hurt. Instead, you're going to play the martyr and say like, oh, you're never going to understand me and I can't keep connections anymore and it could not risk hurting anyone in the future. So, I mean, this tells me that you're very well aware that you hurt them. And this tells me, like, you saying that you're like sisters and that you loved them, maybe that's true, but like the way that you're going about it and the way that you're behaving and treating this person is not a way that you showcase like love. And I don't know. I feel like this could have been different. And yeah. I told her wanting space is fine, but she should have said something. And that was the major issue. We keep bringing this up. That was the major issue. You're not communicating things. And that's where the miscommunication happens. I told her how it hurt and that I felt like she disrespected my boundary and that I could have been there for her if she needed me. I said that I was also allowed to feel hurt due to her distancing. I then told her that she was like a sister to me too and that I love her too. And at this point, we both need space. I told her out of everyone that I've cried over her the most throughout the years. Okay, again, a very empathetic, emotional, compassionate plea to her friend to showcase like, you hurt me in this way and I told you this, and she's trying to understand but also trying to hold her friend accountable. So yeah, and her boundary was disrespected on multiple occasions because from the start she said, please don't ghost me, just tell me if you need space, which is valid. And if you need space, just communicate that directly to your friend. And if you can't do that, then you shouldn't be friends. You shouldn't be friends at all because clearly this is something like a boundary that you cannot. Yeah, I don't know. I'm at loss here. I told her out of everyone that I cried over her the most throughout the years. She then tried telling me that I also cried heavily over Jay. And that I've had people do so many awful things to me. But when she distances herself, she's the bad guy. Oh my God. She then mentioned how suicidal people don't ask for help. They push people away and how I'd never understand that in hopes I never do. Oh my God. I'm sorry. I'm going to call it what it is. This was manipulation. You do not do that. She literally tells you that she's cried over you because of how hurt she is. And then you say, no, you cried over Jay heavily, worse. Like, completely dismissing what she just said. Completely dismissing it. And then you say how other people treated her horribly. And that gives you the okay to distance yourself and treat her bad as well. Like, that gives you the okay because other people have done worse. No. And then, I'm sorry, but you don't put that on somebody when it comes to suicide. This is not funny. Like, No, you don't guilt trip someone and tell them that you don't. Oh my God, you don't make them feel like it's their fault or your life is in there. They're responsible for your life. Like, oh, I'm in loss for words. I told her I cried heavily over Jay when she couldn't attend my wedding due to her deployment, but I've cried hours and hours over A. I mentioned a moment within our friendship when A texted me as I was about to leave Jay's house that she didn't want to be my friend anymore. I remember collapsing that night and ugly bawling in Jay's arms. But when A came back, I quickly forgave her and I told her that I love her. I don't know about you guys, but a lot of this is sounding like the devalue, discard, love bomb cycle to me. She then told me she deleted me from Facebook along with my cousin and work best friend. As for the social media, I noticed she had unadded me and I thought that's because she hated me. I told her that she had hurt me time and time again, but I still love her. I told her that if she was really going to commit suicide, that I would have stayed up with her to make sure that she didn't, because she deserves to live. Oh, sweetie. Wow. She then messages me back and says how it's all about me. Oh my God. And that she was ready to leave her boyfriend the other day and she had her bags packed and everything. She told me that I can't keep thinking it's about me and she wasn't going to entertain that idea. Oh my God. Again, your friend shows you compassion, love, and empathy, and now you flip it and you're like, it's not all about you. Yeah, you made it all about yourself at this point. Like, I don't know. And that you're not going to entertain this idea. What about treating your friend correctly, decently, is entertaining the idea? I please explain this to me. I don't get it. She mentioned how I know she shuts down and has mental health issues, and how this was just like last time, a few weeks prior, but just not as severe. She also said that since her pain and distancing is, in quotes, unfair and childish for me, that that was enough for her to not want to continue the friendship with me no matter the length. Wow. The problem for me is the gaslighting and the flipping the words to like fit the narrative. It's the quote unquote unfair and childish for her pain and distancing. No, that's not what was said. That is not what was implied at all. We're calling you out on the behavior. The behavior itself was unfair and childish. The fact that you didn't communicate what's going on, the fact that you didn't include your friend, that you didn't like consider them and how they feel and how your actions are going to impact them. That's the problem here. But oh my God. She then tells me that I should have just known at the grocery store that she wasn't okay and I should have asked. Again, people shouldn't just know. No, you should talk. If something's going on, you need to talk to your friends about this. You need to communicate this. You need to tell them how you feel. I asked her how I was supposed to know if something was wrong when she acts the same if Jay is around or is mentioned. Valid question. I told her she still should have said she wanted space. Yeah, you keep repeating this because it's valid. Like, she still should have told you she needed space. I told her I understand her side, but I couldn't see it at the time because of the lack of explanations. Valid. I told her I work better with words than trying to judge emotions. True. Human beings work better with words than having to magically read people's minds because there is no mind reader or human on this planet that I've seen. People are not very good at judging emotions, hence why we can't really tell when someone's lying or not. We're not good at that. We can't just guess people's emotions. That's why communication is so important. I also told her that I was sorry for whatever was going on between her and her boyfriend and that I hoped it would work out. I told her that I would be here if she needed me and that I was just sorry. Honestly, I think at this point you've apologized enough, and I don't think you need to apologize for her situation with her boyfriend. That's a her problem. She mentioned my cousin's social media thing again and how I should have asked her at the store because it was apparent something was wrong. Why are we running around in circles? Like, we keep going over the same thing and nothing's being solved. Like, it's like you're talking to a wall and it's like reverberating back. Nothing's being solved. She apologized. She took accountability of her side. She cleaned her side of the sidewalk. And now it is up to the friend to take accountability and clean their side of the sidewalk. But they keep repeating the same stuff over and over again. And we're going nowhere here. She said she deleted me from Facebook and didn't want to continue the friendship because I made assumptions. Obviously, assumptions happen when communication doesn't happen. Miscommunication happens and misinterpretation happens when you don't communicate things. Then people make assumptions, and they usually make assumption based on how they view it from their point of view. And they can't always be in your shoes and see it from your point of view if they don't have enough information. They're lacking information. It is the therapy I've done this with some of my past patients, where to show them how perspective works, you grab a like mug or a cup and you put a bunch of different items in a mug and a cup to fill it up. And it could be a clear mug if you want it to be. Like, you could put marbles on the bottom, you could put like raisins, whatever it is, like jelly beans, pens, whatever it is. And on one side, you see the marbles, the jelly beans, some of the pens. But on the other side, you might see like chocolates and like a different type of pen or a pencil or a different kind of color marble. And then if you go to the other side of it, you'll see a different perspective. That's the whole point. Like, if you don't have all of the information, you're going to make assumptions. If I just see this mug with two marbles in it, I'm going to make assumptions on the mug based on the marbles and what I see in front of me. I don't have the full picture. So obviously assumptions happen. And how to mitigate that is communication. So you can turn the mug around and tell them your side of the story and this side of the story and how you see it from this angle. Like, I'm sorry, guys. I apologize for the assumptions. You shouldn't have apologized for that. That is not your fault. I apologize for the assumptions and explained how being ignored hurt me. She told me that I wasn't really there for her. Oh my God. And that she respects herself enough to not say anything more about her life because it would make rounds that she was struggling with those tendencies and how she almost left her boyfriend. I feel like an olive branch is constantly being laid down in front. She's apologizing for things that she shouldn't even be apologizing for. And she's being empathetic and compassionate and trying to like apologize and say that she's sorry, but also like express how she feels and that she's hurt. And here we go, flipping it again. And oh my God. And then now you're saying that your friend wasn't there for you and that you respect yourself enough that you're not going to say, you haven't said anything. You haven't said anything to your friend. You didn't communicate anything. That is not your friend's fault at all. And now you're blaming her? This is frustrating. I'm sorry, you guys. I told her again that I was hurt and I apologized again for all of it. I feel like you keep reiterating that you're hurt. You're trying to hold this person accountable and they just are trying so hard to deflect, project, rationalize, justify, like all of the defense mechanisms, intellectualize so they don't have to actually hold themselves accountable for the part that they played here. That was the last conversation we had until I received a message from her in the beginning of September. Screenshots attached. Okay, so I'll try to read those later. Looking back on this friendship and with the help of your videos and my counselor, I realize now that it's a good thing this friendship ended. I started to grow emotionally and I felt like A was still emotionally in high school. As I grew, I realized how toxic this friendship was. I know A was there for me, sort of, when my mom died. I can't remember specifics. Oh, okay, that's interesting. I could relate to this because I feel like when you're in a relationship with someone that gaslights you a lot and kind of like just boasts a lot about things that they did and how they helped you, but you can't even think about a specific moment, it's because they never did it through action. They were probably gaslit you into thinking that they're there and supporting you. But if you actually sit down and you want to write down, like, reality-wise what they did, like, for example, they came to you and brought you flowers. That's action. That you can, like, say this is a moment that they did that. But if they're gaslighting you into making you feel bad and making them feel like, or tell you that they're there for you when action is not really there, you're never going to come up with any specifics because your brain can't come up with fake reality or fake specifics. Like, it's blank because nothing happened. There was nothing. So I get this part. She was there for my wedding, but she threw a fit because Jay was going to be there. And A had to think about it, in quotation marks. Okay. She got mad when I got engaged before her because it was too soon and told me how it should be, since she was dating her boyfriend for years and he hasn't proposed yet. After that, she told me to leave my now husband anytime we had a small fight because it would get worse when you're married. So I stopped telling her those things. Ooh, I relate to this. I experienced this with an ex-best friend. It doesn't matter what I told her, whether positive, neutral, or like small little things about me and my boyfriend, she'd flip it and make him sound toxic and constantly just be like, you need to dump him. You need to dump him. And when I didn't dump him because I didn't trust her words, something was off. My gut was telling me something's weird here. She would get angry and retaliative, and I had to deal with the silent treatment, all that stuff. Like, it's unreal. Yeah, I totally get it. And I, too, stopped telling my ex-best friend things. Like, when my boyfriend told me he loved me, I did not tell my best friend. That's how little I trusted her. And I also didn't want her to ruin that moment for me, but I could totally relate to this. I realize now that A was never happy for me, the same way that I was when she succeeded in different things. And she only asked me to do things when it was convenient for her and got mad if I said no or that I couldn't do it. Some moments felt sincere, but I second-guess them all now. It kind of feels like she was in secret competition with me and I only realized that now. She also tried to isolate me from any of my other friends, and I had to be available for her 24/7, even if she said no when I tried to make plans with her. So thank you for helping me with your videos to realize what I was going through, and hopefully the story can potentially help someone too. No, thank you for your bravery. Thank you for sharing this story with me. Like, this, I have no words, but I feel and I understand, and I was in your shoes, and I feel like there are no words to explain how this feels and how going through this really messes with you. And when you're out of it, you can see that it's a blessing and you start to realize that you didn't deserve to be treated that way. But when you're in it, it is very confusing, and you're trusting in someone that is basically treating you horribly. So it's just this confusing place where this is supposed to be someone that quote unquote loves you, but is not actually treating you with love and respect. So it's very difficult to get out of it, and it's very difficult to understand that someone may say that they love you, but that doesn't necessarily mean that their actions are showcasing that. And yeah, when you're in this type of relationship, you really get manipulated and bamboozled and coerced into doing things that you don't want to do and believing them and the storyline that they created and the delusion that they're in. And they constantly gaslight you and make you feel guilty and ashamed for standing up for yourself or for holding them accountable, for having feelings. Like any time you express that you have been hurt by them or that like they said something that you didn't like and you're just hurt. It's as if like, how dare you have these feelings? It's how dare you express that you're hurt? How dare you completely try to ruin this like image that I have of myself of being this perfect person that never does wrong? It's just a lot. All right, I'm going to read the text messages, the screenshots, and give my thoughts on that. Okay, so A sent this text message. This is not a message to try to fix the friendship we had because I'm aware that's long gone. Okay. I've come to terms with that, but more so a form of closure for both of us. You can respond or not respond, whatever you please, but I'm saying my piece. Okay. S, I genuinely have always loved you like a sister. I have always and still want the best for you. I am fully capable of seeing my side in this, and I know that it hurt you, but you also hurt me and continue to. You've always known me to push people away instead of talking because I was never taught how to have a healthy conversation about how I'm feeling. I have my mother and father to thank for that one. Okay, hold up, hold up. So you're fully capable of seeing your side in this, and you know that you hurt her. But where's the apology? Where's the apology? So you see it and you know you hurt her, but you're not going to apologize for it. Okay. But you also hurt me and continue to. Okay. You've also known me to push people away instead of talking because I was never taught how to have healthy conversations about how I'm feeling. Okay, so you're aware of that. You're aware that you push people away instead of talking. And in order to fix that, it is doing the thing that you're afraid of doing, which is try not to push people away and have communication skills and work on your communication skills to communicate your feelings and your issues. But here we say, I have my mother and father to thank for that one. Okay, maybe, yes, that may be true because that's how you grow up, but this is also not taking any accountability responsibility for the part that you played. Your mother and father did not force you to treat your friend the way that you did. At all. Okay? Your mother and father did not force you to completely ignore your friend and treat them badly and not communicate your issues with them. They didn't force you to do that. You might have grown up that way, and I can relate to that. We can grow up a certain way, but that doesn't mean that that is going to be your forever story. That means that if you want to heal and you want to grow and you want to like become a better version of yourself, you need to realize that the things that you learned as a child may not always be healthy, and you have to learn to take responsibility and accountability to fix that and to change it. So you are clearly well aware that you push people away and that you have a problem with having conversations, and you're never taught how to have healthy conversations. Therefore, that is something that you need to work on and improve, learn not to push people away, and learn how to communicate effectively. You can call me a narcissist all you want. You can say I was a terrible friend. You can say whatever you please about me, but deep down, I think you know I never truly had ill intentions. Okay, well, let's hope you never had ill intentions. We hope that our friends don't have ill intentions, but that doesn't take away from the fact that you might not have ill intentions, but your behaviors were not good. That doesn't take away from the fact that because your intentions were good, doesn't mean that your impact was positive. Your impact was negative. Your impact hurt someone. The way you treated them hurt someone. And you know, yep, she has every right to say that you're not being a good friend because based on your behaviors, you were not treating her and being a good friend to this person. My problem here right now is that there's still no apology. It's like, yeah, you called me a bad friend. Yeah, you called me a narcissist. But you're still not apologizing for your behaviors. You're still not taking any accountability. That's the problem here. Some people just genuinely have never been taught how to communicate their problems, and I am one of those people. I run, I hide, I avoid. That's who I am, and that's who you've known all these years. Okay, because that's who you are and that's who you've known all these years, it gives you the okay to treat someone the way that you did. Just because you've been doing it for years doesn't make it okay. Just because you've been robbing banks for years doesn't make that okay. Just because you've been slapping people around left and right doesn't make that okay. Just because you've been going around playing like unaliving people doesn't make that okay. And I think that's the problem here. It's the fact that you are like, it's telling me very well aware that you cannot communicate your problems with people and you choose to run and hide and avoid, but you're also not willing to change that. And I think that's the whole thing. And you're also not willing to apologize for that. You're just kind of justifying it by saying, that's who I am and that's who I'm always going to be. Why don't you want to grow and like be a better version of yourself? Like, it's not, everyone makes mistakes. And if this is something that you do because you run, you hide, you avoid, and you're like very avoidant, and this is something that you do, doesn't mean it has to be a forever thing. You can always choose to change, especially if you're noticing that your behavior is hurting people. Like, sooner or later, you're going to have to take, you know, power into your own hands and realize, oh, the way I've been going about things have been hurting a lot of people that I care about. Like, maybe it's time to change that. All this time since we've last truly talked, I haven't said a single word about the fact that we aren't on speaking terms anymore. Up until last week, nobody really had a clue. Maybe I did that in hopes that you would reach out after the break you needed from me. I'm not sure, but I can't be silent anymore. I have kept it private, and it hurts to constantly see that you reposting things on TikTok that I know are towards me. But if that's how you're coping, it is what it is. But it hurts me. I relate to this because I experienced like the same type of message from my ex-best friend, where it's like, I didn't say anything and you're reposting this and this and this. You didn't say anything because if you would have said the truth in the whole story, people would have told you that you were wrong in this situation. That's why you didn't say anything. It's not because you're saving them and being a martyr and like saving their reputation. No, you're saving your own ass, your own ego here. What really rubs me the wrong way is that maybe I did this in hopes that you would reach out after the break. So you purposely ignored your friend, purposely treated them badly, hoping that after the break they'll come running after you. They'll come like what are you expecting here? You treat someone poorly and that's what you're expecting after the break? Because is this telling me that these are good intentions, or is this telling me that you may have bad intentions because this was done on purpose to coerce someone into behaving a certain way? Also, I find it really funny when people are like, oh, well, you're posting these things on social media and it's about me. I'm like, if the shoe fits, wear it. Honestly, if someone posts something and it hits you and it kind of like triggers you and you feel like this post is about you, that is telling me that you are very, very, very well aware that you behaved in that way and that it's annoying to you because you're being called out in a way. If it's like, oh, these posts are related to me, it's because you know what you did and you know you behaved in that exact way. So, you know, if the shoe fits, wear it, Cinderella. Okay, I'm going to skip this little portion because it's giving off names and personal information. I don't want to like put that in here. But it's basically stating how I'm guessing the dogs miss each other because they were also best friends. and that she can't take the dog to a certain place because the dog instantly thinks that they're going to see you or something like that. I've cried over you and this broken friendship so much this year, and I've accepted that we will not come back from this, no matter how hard we try. But there was no trying. There was no effort. It was just silence. There was no effort. So I accept that my actions played a huge part in that, but I hope you can see that yours have too, in a way. This wasn't all one-sided. Okay, so instead of addressing the actions, we are addressing the reactions to your actions, to your disrespect. That this is what mind boggles me. There's no apology, none whatsoever. There's no like, I accept my actions. Okay, yeah, you accept your actions. Great. Are you going to apologize for it? No. And you know that it played a huge part in it, but you're not going to apologize for it. That's literally what I am hearing right now. You're accepting of it. So you're condoning yourself for it, but you're not going to apologize for it at all. And then we're going to go back to, but your actions too. You mean her reactions to how you behaved, and you ignoring her and giving her the silent treatment and ghosting her made her reactive in some sort of way, and still makes her reactive. This message isn't sent with the intent of trying to hurt you or try to change what is done. It's closure for myself and for you so that we can both move on even if it hurts. If this message isn't sent with the intent to hurt, what is it sent for? What was the intention here? Because there was no apology. That was not the intention. What was the intention here? Just for you to have your final say? Like, I don't understand the intention here. Clearly, it is not going to change anything because you're not willing to change anything. There's no apology here. There's no, you know, addressing your side of the story, taking accountability for anything. None of that. Clearly, I think that the whole point of this message is for you to have closure for yourself, but you don't really care about your friend. It literally says that. It's like, and for you, so we can both move on even if it hurts. So you know it's going to hurt them, but you want to move on. It has nothing to do with your friend. Like, this is, ugh. I will always be rooting for you, just silently and from afar now. Thank you for letting me be part of your life for as long as I was. Thank you for letting me be there for you on your wedding day. I hope that you can look back on those memories with a smile and not hatred or regret. I know I will hold our memories near my heart and tell my future children about the bonus auntie they never got to meet. Why would you tell your kids about that? T and I wish you well, and we hope you know how much we love you. I think that's the dog. Even if these last few months haven't felt that way, please give W, I think this other dog, some extra kisses and cuddles from us today. I know T misses her until another lifetime. Okay. Well, she didn't answer back, so that's good. I think that was the smart move to not give your energy to that. Don't answer back at all, because that text message really didn't give anyone closure. There was no apology whatsoever. It was just kind of like, I did what I did. I said what I said. Deal with it. That was literally the whole point of the message. And it's just, it's very frustrating reading something like that because A, I relate to it and I've experienced that. But B, it's like really frustrating to just like friendship in general. Yes, this friendship might have been like toxic and it's probably best that they're not friends anymore. But it's also like the lack of accountability and the lack of responsibility and the lack of like trying or putting in effort. And it's like throwing in the towel when things are a little bit tough and just like kind of blaming other people for not cleaning your side of the sidewalk. And it just sucks because a lot of these situations can be mitigated with conversations. And sometimes a lot of conversations, like if you had conversation with a few friends, you quickly realize what kind of friend you're dealing with. If you bring up an issue to them about being hurt and they're quick to deflect or flip the script or blame you or whatever, that is the moment where you need to realize that and pack your bags and go. Because if someone is not even going to acknowledge how you feel and not even going to apologize how their actions have made you feel despite their intentions, like, it doesn't matter. It's like this thing that a therapist has told me. It's like, it's, let's say you're in an apartment and your intention is to like clean the apartment and make it sparkly clean, and you use a lot of bleach everywhere. And the intent was pure because you wanted to surprise the person that lives there by having a clean house and cleaning up the whole place. But then they walk in and it affects them negatively because they're allergic to bleach and they're deathly allergic to bleach. And then suddenly they have an allergic reaction and boom, you know, like they're in the hospital. And it's the whole point of it is like, okay, your intentions might be pure, but you didn't know that this person was allergic. So you realize that the impact and the behavior like hurt them, and you doing that hurt them. So they're in the hospital now dealing with the allergy. And if they come up to you and they're like, oh, this really hurt me, this really like impacted me, and you're like, oh, no, it didn't, you're fine, you're alive, like, you're, no, you don't do that to somebody. You don't, and this is just an example, but you don't tell them that what they felt isn't real. You don't tell them that what they experienced isn't what they experienced. You take accountability and you apologize for what you did. And you're like, oh, I'm sorry I used bleach. I didn't know. I won't do it again. That's literally all it is. And then you don't do it again. And that's it. Problem solved. But clearly in this story, I relate to it a lot because there's a lot of like these boundaries that have been crossed, and a lot of it was like gaslighting and flipping the script and blame shifting. And it becomes very, very frustrating. And to the person that keeps like trying to fight for this friendship, it's draining, and to a point where you just feel like you don't feel like yourself anymore because the person is making you completely question your own thoughts, your own reality, your own judgment, and you're just constantly doubting yourself, constantly afraid of doing something that is going to get them to like have that wrath against you. It's a lot. I really hope that this story is relatable to many of you, and to kind of understand and see the red flags right from the beginning. These are all lessons to be learned. Not everybody is compatible as friends, and it's important to recognize where the red flags are in the beginning and when someone's overstepping your boundary in the beginning of the friendship, so that you can cut off that friendship quick and you don't have to deal with it 10 years later like I had to, and that many of us had to also deal with. But these are all lessons that need to be learned, and we're all here to support each other and to help each other and to learn those lessons so that the next time around we don't do the same mistake, or we're at least quicker at identifying the red flags than we were the first time. So I hope this story helped. Thank you so much to our anonymous submission. Appreciate you. If you have a story that you would like to submit, please email me at weusedtobebestfriendspodcast@gmail.com, and I will try to get to yours. Please let me know in the email if I have your permission to share it on the podcast. And please do your best to write it as best as possible so that it is easy to read. Think of it like you're writing one of those Reddit posts of like, am I the asshole type thing, that kind of style. So be easier for me to read and easier for the listeners to understand what's going on. Also, please let me know if you would rather that I just read the full story and give my comments later, but I feel like I was so immersed in it that I needed to give my comments right then and there. So keep me posted on that. But until then, we will talk soon, and I will see you in the next episode. Bye!